Motion pictures. Just as public interest in women's suffrage escalated within mainstream culture, a nascent industry was quietly transforming the media landscape in America. Like the magazines and newspapers that had until then served as the main avenues for spreading art and opinion, the new medium of film began reaching into the many diverse corners of popular culture. As early as 1899, when silent cinema was still a mostly unknown novelty, the topic of women's suffrage was introduced in film with Women's Rights, which mocks two young suffragists. The first Nickelodeon theater, a storefront for viewing films at the cost of a nickel, did not open until 1905, but in the coming years, tens of thousands of new storefront theaters opened all across the country. Americans had quite an appetite for this new mode of entertainment, which continued to grow as the century wore on. With intensified interest in this groundbreaking form of art and technology, the debate about women's suffrage found its way into film. Most of the explosion of suffrage films produced between 1909 and 1915 consisted of negative or anti-suffrage films mocking and making light of suffragists and their cause. One early suffrage film, A Lively Affair, figure 96, was produced in 1912 by an unknown director and producer. Only 7 minutes long, it is essentially a silent film version of the popular anti-suffrage postcards in which suffragists subvert gender roles. Women dress like men in bloomers, instead of trousers, and blazers. Women abandon their children and husbands to go to suffrage meetings, and women drink and gamble and behave in unladylike ways. By the end, the suffragists have been jailed, a fact that their hapless husbands celebrate, since they seem to rather dislike them anyhow. Many anti-suffrage films of this period took the same approach, such as A Busy Day, 1914, which starred Charlie Chaplin as a suffragist who subverts gender roles and acts in all manner of unfeminine ways. An early example of film animation, the anti-suffrage The Strong Arm Squad of the Future, figure 97, takes a pronounced anti-suffrage stance. Just 1 minute long, the film parades a cast of six strong-arm women across the screen. The term strong-arm squad is a reference to the militant suffragettes who were causing such a stir in England. Here, the producers have envisioned a world in which these kinds of women have taken control. Once again, it is a display of the favored anti-suffrage theme of the subversion of gender roles. Excepting the third woman, a beautiful young Gibson girl, all of these women are depicted as old and monstrous-looking, recalling the other favorite anti-suffrage tradition of discrediting suffragists by denying them their femininity. Another suffrage film from this era is the absurd comedy of errors, The Suffragette Sheriff, figure 98. The feminist wife and sister-in-law of the protagonist, Bill, inadvertently get him into trouble. His sister-in-law, a spinster suffragist, manages to get her sister, Bill's wife, elected as mayor and sheriff. The predictable subversion of gender roles ensues, with Bill feeling neglected and wanting to go back to the way things were before. In an attempt to return things to normal, Bill pretends to commit murder, thinking that his wife would then have to abandon her duties and return to the womanly domestic sphere. Naturally, Bill's plot goes awry when his wife learns of his plan and decides to follow through with her pursuit of Bill as a murderer. He is only saved with a surprise gag at the end of the film, when he falls into a tub of water at the gallows. The film is neither pro nor anti-suffrage, but shows that the suffrage movement was well known enough to merit being subject matter for this burgeoning art form. A Suffragette in Spite of Himself, figure 99, is another neutral suffrage film from this period, and, as the title suggests, another comedy of errors. The anti-suffragist protagonist winds up with a Votes for Women sign on his back after a pair of kids play a prank on him. At an anti-suffrage rally, the unknowing victim is rebuffed by the other men, and he then stumbles upon a pro-suffrage rally where he is confused to find himself treated well. The story and message of the film is somewhat anti-anti-suffragist, although it does not make a strong case for suffrage. Many films of this period wanted to remain neutral so as to appeal to as many viewers as possible. Although film was especially favored by the anti-suffragists, pro-suffrage groups had their say too. Pro-suffrage films were largely made as rebuttals to the films created by their opponents. One of the earliest, produced by NAWSA, was the well-received Votes for Women, a two-reel film that viewed women and their enfranchisement as a solution to societal ills. The following year, 1913, the Women's Political Union produced What 80 Million Women Want, a drama in which a suffragist exposes the corruption and injustice of a man in a position of power, figure 100. The suffragists Emmeline Pankhurst and Harriet Stanton Blatch make appearances as themselves, which was clearly a tactic to garner attention for the film. The film was a critical success, marking a minor victory for the women's suffrage movement. Your Girl or Mine, one of the most important pro-suffrage films, was produced the following year in collaboration with NAWSA. The film illustrates the injustices inherent in the American legal system. To make matters worse, when conditions in her marriage become so bad that the woman attempts to leave with her children, the law demands she return to her husband's house. The film touches on many of the issues that have become touchstones of the women's suffrage movement: labor, especially child labor and exploitation, and the idea of women as protectors of children and the home. The film was promoted by local suffrage groups and left a lasting impression on its viewers, as well as earning rave reviews, and was cited as an essential film to help the public understand the importance of giving women the vote. By about 1915, the fervent attacks on suffragists in films slowed down significantly, perhaps a sign that the tide was turning in their favor. This allowed pro-suffrage films like the 1917 Mothers of Men, figure 101, to take the spotlight and be heard without protest. The plot of this film is similar to The Suffragette Sheriff, but the story is told in a serious and believable way. The film follows one woman's rise to political power. Clara Madison is elected as a judge and eventually as a governor. While serving as governor, she is faced with the question of whether she will intervene on behalf of her husband, who is accused of murder, or whether she will allow the legal system to follow its due process. The film is ultimately about her personal struggle and her integrity, and a portrait of female strength, an example of the dignity women would bring to positions of political power and, by implication, the voting booth as well. Created in the very final years of the suffrage campaign, this film was a source of pride and inspiration for supporters of the movement and made a powerful case for women's suffrage through its effective and affecting storytelling. Not unlike the inspiring illustrations created by pro-suffrage artists, the film was hopeful and supportive. As suffragists made their final push before the passage of the 19th Amendment, suffrage art became a cacophony of soaring hopes and determination. Film was something of a microcosm of the broader debate about women's suffrage. Although suffragists initially faced harsh criticism in film, they ultimately took ownership of the debate. The same thing was happening throughout American culture. The suffragists were at the final stretch before reaching the finish line. They saw victory in sight.